Well, saints come in many varieties. Today's obviously about that. In Luke's gospel, Jesus focuses on a particular group. It's very specific, and Luke's gospel is known for this. These are the folks that receive his attention throughout his ministry. The poor. It's the literal poor. The literal poor. The hungry. The crying. The hated. The excluded. These people, he promises, are blessed, or the blessed. They are blessed. He also addresses those who are of a different group, the opposite of the first, the wealthy, the satisfied, the laughing, the admired. To all these, he says, woe. And the word woe there is not a you are cursed or, you know, doomed. It's just a woe. It's kind of like an attention getter, a yikes, or as the sermon title, look out. Be watchful. And we'll get into more of that in a little bit. But Jesus promises relief to some. Those who know the hard road, they travel it daily. It's tough. The resources are limited. No one seems to help. The others, the folks who find existence rather enjoyable and at ease, he says, look out. But why? You know, what's the big deal? There's wealth, people are happy, they're comfortable. Is there a problem with that? What's wrong with that? Well, hold on to that question for a few minutes. But in this passage, it's the language of reversals. The hungry will be satisfied. The satisfied will be hungry. And each set of four, the reversals, it needs to be taken seriously. Jesus, when he comes, he turns things upside down. But what if we take note of what Jesus is up to here? And not just assume that the blessings and woes are part of the afterlife, you know, some future time. You know, hang in there, you'll get yours, you know, either way. But what about the reality that Luke speaks of this and Jesus speaks of this? The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is among you. The reign of God is right now. If that's the case, then the blessings and woes signal that there's something otherworldly, something different, some reality that can be experienced in the here and now. It's powerful. It's deeply spiritual. You know, for each and every one, for people on both sides of the blessings and woes, the God's kingdom and glimpses of heaven, it can happen. People can experience it in the present, right now. Right when Jesus shared these words, right with the people. The days ahead, in our time, our day and age. God's economy. Opportunities abound. Great joy, leaping joy. Can we see it happening? And it's about bringing people together. Church family, community, glimpses of heaven, the saints from long ago and the saints from right now. How about all those saints right here that were out sitting on the steps and their future? Can we see it happening? I think some are experiencing that. When you are participating in ministry that brings the most unlikely folks together, you're seeing that. We call that the haves and the have-nots, you know. When people come together, it sounds like church family too. See, Jesus sees the world and people, his church, in a different way. He has different lenses. His lenses are greater and stronger than 20/20. And it's a spiritual thing, what Jesus sees, what God sees. The speaker on the men's retreat, he shared this quote. And I shared it at a wedding recently too. But let me share the quote. He never gave a name who it's from, but he said this: we all come out of the womb looking for someone looking for us with delight. You know, it sounds kind of like a wedding homily can come out of that. We're all looking for that one who will love us and look to us with delight. But ultimately, his point was, that's only found in God. Hey, we love our loved ones, we have wonderful relationships, but that the one who delights in us the most is God. And he just wants us to know that. He wants us to understand that. His looking and searching and loving and forgiving and healing and availability, his presence is what he wants all of us to know. Everyone. And he's trying to bring a group together of people, the church and his world around us, and those around us, bringing us together for a mutual blessing in the most unusual ways. Well, you see the hungry, the poor, the crying, they got that. They understand that about Jesus, about God, and God's love. Because Jesus loved them. He looked upon them. He blessed them. Just meeting Jesus, they know that they have encountered God in a fantastic way. And look at verse 20. Before he speaks the blessings and the woes, what is he doing? He turns his gaze upon the multitudes, on the people. His apostles were there, and it says his disciples. He named them as apostles, the 12, before this. So these are believers and unbelievers. And he's looking upon them. And what does he see? He sees a lot of folks, whether they had money or not, most of them did not, folks that really were toughest on themselves, judgmental of others, you know, but hoping and wishing and desiring something different. Most of them knew that there were news of a Messiah that should be coming one day. And there was a strange preacher out in the wilderness preaching about the Messiah is coming. But this multitude, his eyes are looking upon them. And his eyes are looking upon us as well. You know, as I stand before you and you are looking back at me, we are vessels of God's abundance and his love and his care. As we go out, the church is to be the ones, to be those vessels and looking upon the world and loving them and caring for them. And I mean, that's the context as Jesus is speaking to them. His grace, his mercy, his delighting in each and every one of them as he turns things upside down. Because things operate differently in the kingdom of God. His work and message actively benefit those who are in need. That's where the focus needs to be, to those who are in need, not the privileged. I grew up very privileged. And this is a message that I always need to be reminded of to help others. Because Jesus brings, through his ministry, he brings belonging to those who suffer. He brings food to those who need to be fed. And he teaches the church and community about hospitality, about fellowship. The people who cry or who live in perpetual loss and grief, he comforts them. They will not be forgotten. They will experience joy. Those excluded and persecuted prove to be no match for those who share in the liberating message of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And the word for blessed here, it speaks of an already existing state of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is near, is here. I like the part of the message, this is a different day and it's getting close to the top of the hour, but repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's one of the best sermons John the Baptist and Jesus preach. But Blessed is, it talks of an existing state. To be blessed is to be endowed with grace, divine favor. Grace, it's all about God's grace, His grace to us. He has extended us more grace than we could possibly imagine. And with that comes responsibility about what we pour forth to others, to each other, to the world out there that's beating each other up. People are so angry and so divided and so polarized. Who's going to bring people together? Well, Jesus does in His upside-down kingdom. Those who know the blessing. To be blessed is to be who we are in Christ at our best, submitted to our Lord and submitted to others, to even the world out there, to serve them, to love them, to be God's eyes looking upon them with delight. This brings us back to the question, why the wealthy, the satisfied, the admired, you know, people need to watch out or to look out? Don't they already enjoy the satisfaction? They know peace and comfort. You know, what's it all about? Well, here's the truth. The word woe speaks of God's concern for those who may not be in good standing with God, or and He's patient. He's patient with me. He's patient with you. Out. Consider your standing with God. What you have and what you're doing with what you have. And folks who are not living in their identity in Christ or as a member of His body. Those who are missing out on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near, is at hand. Look out. Be watchful. Don't miss out. The woe is kind of a priorities check. And Jesus is urging, you know, all folks to re-examine our lives in light of God's unfolding reign. The things we assume are advantages, you know, may not be that. Maybe, you know, all when there is comfort and all that, it's just a kind of a false hope. It can paralyze us spiritually. It can bring about, you know, death in spiritual ways too, if we don't act upon it. We need to look out. You know, nowhere in the litany does Jesus say, well, this is what you're supposed to do. He just lays out the truth, blessings and woes. But right after it, there's a litany of stuff that Peg read. You know, how are we supposed to act? Well, love, pray, you know, pray for your enemies, love all, and give. You know, turn the other cheek, bless people, give, give, give. Barbara Brown Taylor says this. His sermon is not advice at all. It's not even judgment. It's simply the truth about the way things work, pronounced by someone who loves everyone. So what are we to do with this gospel reading? Well, we might start with just agreeing. You know, Jesus is right. And we need to find ourselves. You know, it's between us and the Lord. We find ourselves in the midst of it. What would God have us do and respond? And you know, we might admit that, well, things are a little more comfortable in this part of the world, in our life, and, you know, there's a variety of stories here, but, you know, for the most part, we are not desperate for God, nor keenly aware that God is at work powerfully right now and tomorrow and the next day, every moment of every day. He's working all around us, drawing us to Himself and drawing others to connect. We're not aware of that. And we're not on our knees with need and heartache and sorrow and longing and gratitude or love. Just think of the grace that God has given us, the grace He's giving us right now. And we're not on our knees. Why would we be? In our part of the world, we are not in dire need of anything. We really aren't. compared to the world. What Jesus is saying in this gospel is that we have something to learn about discipleship. We can learn from those who have a testimony, and we want to hear more of those, what people are doing with their life and stewardship. Something to grasp about the beauty and the glory and the freedom of the Christian life. And I think the bottom line is that, you know, God wants to become everything in our life, our all in all. That we share, we're generous, our go-to, our starting, our ending. Recognizing that we are the poor and needy ones, spiritually. We have nothing to offer God for what He's given us. But He expects a lot for us to give and to be generous and to recognize where it all comes from. But we are the poor and needy ones. You guys, come on up, get ready for a song. Think about the communion of saints. We've got some pictures here. But that intimate unity we share through Christ with one another, including those who have finished their race, it creates a community, a new social reality. And the sermon Jesus gives, it describes that community as odd. It's an odd ragtag team. Its values do not match the life experience of the world in terms of who typically experiences happiness and how. Frederick Buechner writes, "The world says, mind your own business. Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, law and order, and Jesus says, love. The world says, get, and Jesus says, give. Jesus is calling His church to be active in the community, active where the need is most, to be generous, especially with those who do not have what we have. It's about answering Christ's call. Where is God calling us to bless, to be generous today? Woe to those who refuse to answer Christ's call. Look out. What blessedness we could be missing. Amen."